We have been for about the last 4 weeks studying together from the Bible on the subject of the godly home and family. And in our previous lessons, the last four lessons, we have discussed the sanctity of marriage and the fact that it is ordained by God, regulated by God, and consequently the duties of husbands and wives to each other and, of course, to their families. We also discussed fathers and mothers, particularly with respect to the family and the family unit. Now we come to the next in our series, and that lesson is the duties of children. Now, we are talking about children who hopefully have fathers and mothers who are providing for them, raising them in the way of the Lord, loving them and caring for them as an intricate part of the family unit. A good place to begin this study is in Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul charges children to obey your parents. And he not only says obey your parents, he says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This charge, as found in Ephesians 6 and 12, says in the Lord means that which is what the Lord wants you to do. And we understand this, even as Jesus himself obeyed his parents. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, we're told that he went down with them after he had been in the temple reasoning with the scribes and Pharisees. And he came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept these things in her heart. Now, there's one more phrase here. For this is right. Now, I want you to think about this. For this is right implies that disobeying your parents is wrong. Now, we know that in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion on the part of a child is not only evil, it is evil like witchcraft and idolatry, in the words of the wise man of old. But go on and look at this again. All things. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This charge is also found in Colossians 3 and 20, where Paul says there, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Now, let's take the phrase, in all things. All things presumes that they are in harmony with God's will. We know this because in Acts 5, verse 29, that Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So if parents are demanding things or actions that are not in accordance with his will, then we have this principle we have to live by. We ought to obey God rather than man. But when children obey their parents, the Lord is indeed pleased. Now, children are talked about in the Old Testament, and their disobedience is looked on as something very serious. It clearly reveals God's displeasure when children disobey their parents. In Exodus 21:15, the scripture says, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." I want to read that again. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. This was God's law. No man came up with this. This was God's law. And it surely shows us how serious God feels about disobedience to parents. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, and this is one, a passage that needs to be read and thought seriously about. This is God's law under the law of Moses. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Now, did you hear that? Stubborn and rebellious children, by order of the God of heaven, the creator of all things, are to be stoned to death. That's what God commanded. And you know why he commanded that? Look at the verse. "So," in what the adverb of manner, "you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. "The eye that mocks his father and scorns his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." Now, I've said all of this to impress upon you how God feels about disobedience. We can see what effect it has on society when children are allowed to continue to be disrespectful and disobedient to parents. Now, children today can be thankful that their parents are Christians who do not live under the Old Testament law, but under the New Testament. Nevertheless, disobedience is not to be taken lightly, nor is obeying parents to be done grudgingly. Now, we move on to Ephesians 6 and 2. "Honor your parents, both father and mother." Now, in Ephesians 6 and 2, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." One of the Ten Commandments of the law of Moses in Exodus 20 and also Deuteronomy chapter 5 is to honor your father and mother. Now, to honor implies to love, to regard highly, to show a spirit of respect and consideration. Thus, obedience to one's parents is to be rendered in love and with respect. Going back now in Ephesians 6 and verse 2. Notice, to receive the promise. Now, notice the command to honor one's parents came with a promise. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, let's just look at this phrase, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, the words, the earth here, could rightfully be translated in the land. And I feel that there is, in this promise to, or in this command given to Israel, that this is a part of the promise. It is their promise that in the promised land, that may be well with them and that they may live long there. Now, we know that disobedience or disrespect to parents carries with it a severe penalty under the law of Moses. And their lives would certainly be brought short if they turned out to be a disobedient child. But this promise is true in general. Now, remember, there are exceptions. One of them comes to mind is Jesus. He didn't live long, but that still meant that, or did not mean that he did not have to honor his parents and so forth. But a child who loves and respects his or her parents is more likely to benefit from them. Now, I don't mean financially necessarily, but benefit from the wisdom and also from God's providential care. Disrespecting parents, you incur both their wrath and God's wrath just as well. But the duty of children to honor their parents does not end when they leave the home. When mothers and fathers become aged, children have a duty to support their parents. This, as taught by Jesus in Mark 7, verses 6 through 13. Here he exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees in their traditions. And we talked about this morning in class just a little bit. But in Mark 7, starting with verse 6, he says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For in laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." And he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many other such things you do." The command to honor one's parents is implied by the care that should be taken by adult children. Notice, if a man says to his father or mother, not a child, a man, and he, of course, through Corban, dismisses any responsibility for his father or his mother. Thus, the duty to love, respect, and care for parents doesn't ever end. It doesn't ever end. But is Jesus the only one that taught on this? Well, no. Actually, it was taught by Paul in the first epistle to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we want to begin reading with verse 3. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3. Widows who are really widows are to be honored. Now, I want you to stop here with me for just a minute. He set some parameters on widows that qualify them to really be widows. Notice with me, if you will, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first show piety at home and repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow, now here we are, and is left alone, trusts in God, continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. All these things, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, now get the principle, provide for his own, especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I think it's pretty clear that Paul saw the responsibility of children to take care of their parents financially whenever they are aged. And notice 1 Timothy 5 on down at verse 16. That's 1 Timothy 5, 16. If any believing man has widows, let them relieve them and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are, remember the qualifications, really widows. Now, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but children and grandchildren are to repay their needy parents. Children and grandchildren. Look at 1 Timothy 5 and 4. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Thus we are to provide for the security of our parents and grandparents as needed. Now I want you to notice somewhere here. Uh-oh, there it is. Failure to do so. Now, failure in this regard denies the faith and makes one worse than an unbeliever. Now, think about that. How immoral is this? Well, it isn't immoral. The Jews just thought they were pushing their responsibility off on the temple. In other words, let the temple take care of my parents. No, this is something that God says is your responsibility. For as long as you live, that you take care of your own. I believe that the duties of children are indeed very clear. They are to obey their parents and to do it in the Lord, of course. We understand that parents are to be people who respect God and do God's commands and keep his commands. And that's what we're looking at here. Now, surely some people don't have parents that care anything about God or even acknowledge God. But you are to obey your parents in every way that's in keeping with the commandments that are given by God. Then you are to honor your parents, not just respect them, while you, indeed, you should do that, but you must be prepared to take care of them, to do everything in your power to care for your parents and to support them if necessary. There we are, support if necessary. Now, blessed indeed is the home and the family in which husbands and wives fulfill their duties to one another. There is happiness. There is harmony. I think maybe we could burst into song here and sing Where Love Is in the Home. And it certainly spells it out. But this is what God wants to be in our homes. Our husbands and wives who fulfill their duties to one another. But not only that, he wants to see homes where parents and children fulfill their duties to one another. Parents are indeed parents. They're not to be their children's buddy. They're not to be just another one of the kids. Although some wives say their husbands are, they're just like another child, but they shouldn't be. They need to be the parents and fill that role to the fullest. And the children need to fulfill their duties so that parents and children are reciprocating in their duties to one another. Again, bursting into song, where love is in the home. Now, such homes and families are a common occurrence whenever the admonitions of the Lord are taken seriously by all members of the family, from the youngest to the oldest. They care about what God says, and they strive to do what God says, and they help one another to do what God says. Taken seriously. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 6. It's Proverbs 6, verse 20 and 22. The wise man here admonishes, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you." I don't think we could find a finer dissertation on what needs to be done by children in order to fulfill their duties before God. Do not forsake your father, or do not disobey your father's command. Do not forsake your mother's law. Take God's word, bind it upon your heart, tie it around your neck. When you roam, it'll lead you, and when you sleep, it will keep you, and when you awake, it will speak with you. Now, we're coming to another lesson. And you say, well, how can you possibly come up with anything else? You've dealt with all there is in a family. Well, not quite. Not quite. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to deal with the duties of singles. And in the course of this lesson, I hope you will find it interesting and informative. I thank you very much for being here today. I knew this lesson was a little bit short, but that's okay. You all got a bit longer lesson this morning at the building, so I'll trade off a little time here and give you back a little bit of time. Let's all remember now what the week holds. We have Wednesday evening at 7:30 for our weekly Bible study, 7:30 p.m., and then again next Sunday at the building. I'm being reminded to say at the building. And we have next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we have Bible study. And then 11, we have assembled for worship. Now, in addition to this, in addition to it, every day, we have a daily Bible reading. And if you're not doing the daily Bible reading, you really ought to be. It's not, doesn't take a big chunk out of your day. It's time that's well spent. In fact, you may find that you want to spend a little more time on it once you get to doing it and really dig into it and look up words and look up other scriptures and things that pertain to it. But every day, take time with God's word. Read God's word, and you will indeed be blessed by so doing.